Could America actually vote in a socialist as president? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is one of the foremost experts alive on the subject of socialism and specifically communism. He has written many books about this subject. His name is Dr. Paul Kanger. He's a professor of history and political science at Grove City College, and he writes many best-selling books as well as very important columns that are out there. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Kanger, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Yeah, Jerry, it's always good to be with you. Thanks.
Oh, you're very kind. Okay, so could America actually vote in a socialist president? And if so, how did we get to this place?
Well, it looks like the Democrats could. And yeah, I frankly, Jerry, I'm not surprised by what I'm seeing with Bernie. In fact, I started sharing some of the data going back to 2015, 2016. I could show this in columns I've been publishing the last 5 years. There was a 2015 poll where it said that 69% of millennials said that they'd be willing to vote for a socialist as president of the United States. And yet the next year, 2016, many of them did, as Bernie Sanders got 13 million votes in a Democratic primary. And, you know, that was just behind Hillary, who got 17 million votes. And by the way, Donald Trump got 14 million votes in the Republican primary. So, you know, Bernie got over 40% of the votes in the Democratic primary in 2016, and he's a lifetime socialist. And then there was a poll within the last year or two which said that 57% of all registered Democrats would be willing to vote for a socialist as their party nominee. So what we're seeing here right now is not a surprise at all. The data has predicted this. And I remember pointing this out, and an academic colleague of mine said, "Oh, you're being ridiculous. I mean, this is not going to happen." But I said, "Look at the data. Look at the data." And I mean, in a sense, Jerry, we're seeing Bernie kind of slide through with almost like Donald Trump did in 2016, right? 25% of the vote. Among a field of candidates where you got a half dozen to a dozen different candidates. But if you look at what happened in Nevada and generally now, he seems to be, you know, peaking up over 25, over 30. And with Michael Bloomberg coming in, kind of splitting Joe Biden's vote in half, I mean, if I had to bet money on it, I'd bet on Bernie right now.
You mean that Bernie would be not the president, but that he would become the Democratic candidate?
Yeah, that he'd become president. The Democratic candidate. And Real Clear Politics, I didn't check it this morning. I should have. But I know a few days ago, the literal Vegas betting odds had Bernie like 53, 57% to get the Democratic nomination. And way under that was Bloomberg, I think around 30%. Biden, like 8 or 9%.
Wow.
So it's just off the charts now in favor of Bernie. And as to your question, would the country vote that way? I mean, if you look closely at some of the polls, Bernie's neck and neck with Donald Trump. And I don't think that's a positive vote for Bernie and for socialism as much as Donald Trump, you know, is a very polarizing figure. And, you know, the only reason he got in 2016 was because Americans hated Hillary Clinton more. Although, you know, Hillary did get more of the popular vote. If I had to bet again, I would bet that Donald Trump defeats Bernie and easily. But if you look at the data, I don't know. I mean, it's entirely possible. Bernie is, it's not an impossibility, and that's pretty sad. Given, here's a guy, Bernie Sanders, as James Carville pointed out, who's not even a Democrat. he was a lifelong independent, capital I. He wasn't a Democrat until he pursued the 2016 nomination. And he's been a lifelong socialist and even an old Trotskyist. You know, Bernie's party in the 1980 presidential election, for example, when he was a formal presidential elector, was the old Trotskyist Socialist Workers' Party. So, yeah, that's Bernie's party. not the Democrats, but the Socialist Workers' Party. So it's pretty crazy. This is kind of shocking and really kind of sad to see.
And how many people did the communists kill in China? How many did the communists kill in the Soviet Union? How many people did they kill in Cuba or Cambodia? I mean, it's... But by the way, I saw Mayor de Blasio on TV today saying something like, well, our voters don't care about the Cold War. That's old history. You know, we don't care about that. Right. What we care about is jobs, and Bernie's going to deliver the goods. Something to that effect. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. By the way, what job has Bernie held, you know, prior to this? How has he ever, you know, helped put food on the table, you know, for his family, other than writing books against socialism? I mean, writing books against capitalism and earning a lot of money through the capitalist system in his books against capitalism.
Right, right. By the way, I'm not surprised that de Blasio said that, because de Blasio never cared about that in the Cold War. In fact, he was on the other side. Bill de Blasio, this is pretty amazing, but it's true, actually sold subscriptions to the Nicaraguan Sandinistas newspaper in the 1980s. He was absolutely pro-communist. We don't call him Comrade Bill de Blasio for nothing. He's the most far left person that New Yorkers have ever elected to the mayor's office. So it doesn't surprise me that de Blasio would say that. And what you just said about Bernie, I wrote a piece for the American Spectator called Bernie Billionaires. Lay out there.
Yeah, we did a whole segment about that. I'll link to that, because that was such a powerful point you made. You know, he's got those three houses that are very expensive. Yeah. But how did he earn all this money? Basically by decrying socialism. I mean, capitalism. and upholding socialism.
Yeah, and he made some of it by writing a book, but most of it was as a public sector employee. I mean, this is an amazing thing, Jerry. Think about this. Bernie Sanders, since 1980, has been on the government payroll. He was mayor of Burlington, Vermont throughout the 80s, then became an elected congressman in 1991. Following that, he went into the Senate. So for 40 years, Bernie has been on the public payroll, and not just getting a paycheck from taxpayers, but also getting perks from taxpayers. His honeymoon trip to the Soviet Union was subsidized by taxpayers of Vermont. Even now, so he's been almost continuously on the campaign trail for 5 years now, going back to 2015. Bernie doesn't have to pay for any of those hotels. He doesn't have to pay for any of his food. He doesn't have to tip any of the valet. He doesn't have to pay for any of the jets, any of the limousines. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all that money that he earned, to borrow from Barack Obama, right? Hey, Bernie, you didn't build that, right? He didn't build any of that wealth. All that wealth came from taxpayers.
Yeah.
While he stands up there and fashions himself a champion of the proletariat and the working class.
Yeah, and as he flies first class, and I've seen photos of that, by the way, of him in first class. But just one quick comment. You're talking to a guy, and that would be me, who had his honeymoon in Norway. And I say that because I was married in Norway, that my wife is from Norway. I've been there multiple times, and she has family there, so we still visit sometimes, plan to go soon, in fact, again. But Bernie had his honeymoon in the Soviet Union. I had my honeymoon in Norway. Now, he would turn around and say, oh, no, I'm not advocating, you know, the old USSR-type communism or socialism. I'm advocating Norway and Denmark and Sweden as the norm. By the way, I heard recently, did Finland just declare bankruptcy or something because of their over-generous welfare state? But what's your comment about the Scandinavian angle Bernie supporters bring out?
Yeah, the Scandinavian countries and also Denmark. You know, those countries are not socialist. They're what we would call kind of social democracies. And at one point in the 70s and into the early 80s, they were doing what was called the third way, right? Which was kind of like a mixture between free market and, again, I wouldn't say socialist, but I guess, you know, some people's understanding perhaps of what a socialist country might look like. But they've all moved away from that. Mm-hmm. That absolutely bankrupted them. If you look at Finland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Netherlands, any of these countries, look at the Heritage Foundation's Index of Economic Freedom. Look at the Fraser Institute, which tracks economic freedom.
And what's the point if we were able to see those graphs or whatever?
Well, yeah, they're all now in like the among the top 20 economically most free countries in the world, and a number of them, I'm pretty sure Denmark ranks even higher than the United States.
Mm.
So they have generous welfare states. They often have high tax rates. Some of them do have government provided health care, but they're not socialist. They're not socialist. And your people don't understand what socialism is. And frankly, I think there's a problem with this among conservatives too. They'll say, and Pete Buttigieg has pointed this out, I think rightly so. They'll say, oh, Obamacare, that's socialism. That's socialized medicine. Well, it's not socialism. Maybe it's closer to that with the sector of the economy, and that would be bad. But a full blown socialist system, that's something that very few places in the world actually have. And for the record, Bernie Care, which is what we ought to call Bernie's socialized medicine deal, that's way to the left of Obamacare. That's what he calls single payer. And Mayor Bloomberg and Joe Biden and others have been pointing out, if you go Bernie's way, you're going to see 150 million Americans lose the private health insurance that they like and they say they want to keep. So, Bernie's got the most radical idea for healthcare that anybody has seen yet. He's to the left of everybody on that Democratic stage.
So 150 million people would lose their health care, and 150 million people have already been killed by guns, said Joe Biden the other day. So pretty soon we're running out of Americans.
Bernie would say that they wouldn't lose their health care, but they'd go to the government single payer system,
right?
Rather than their private health care, which is correct.
Yeah.
But what Bloomberg and others are saying is, there's 150 million Americans at least who don't want to do that. They like their private health
right,
insurance.
Right.
But if they go Bernie's way, they're not going to have any choice. And of course, as you know, Jerry, so well, socialism is all about taking away your choice, right? That's really what it comes down to in the end. I have a friend who likes to say socialism is suggest, shove, shoot, right? You suggest it to somebody. If they don't want it, then you give them a shove. And then if you don't want it, then you shoot. And that's certainly what happened in Castro's Cuba, which Bernie has always admired the Cuban healthcare system, as we saw again when Anderson Cooper, kudos to Anderson Cooper, held his feet to the fire on that in that 60 Minutes interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's quite a remarkable thing, and Bernie has been, adamant about this, and at least you could say he's consistent. Now, we only have a minute and a half to go, but what are your thoughts? If you said, okay, so Castro helped drive illiteracy down in Cuba, but couldn't you say, Adolf Hitler helped introduce the Autobahn and the Volkswagen, the car of the people? And, some good things that are still with us to this day. The trains ran on time. I mean, in a big picture, aren't you kind of losing the overall focus? It's like the old question.
Right.
Well, other than that, how did you like the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah. Well, look, I actually have been teaching this for a long time, and I share with my students data. Cuba had very high literacy rates prior to Castro.
Oh, wow.
And so many countries do, because the fact of the matter is, and listen to me, liberals, right? It doesn't take $20,000 per kid to teach a kid to read. And believe me, Cuba's not spending $20,000 per kid to uh-huh. teach a kid. My wife taught 8 kids in my family to read on probably a $20 used hooked on phonics set. All right.
God bless you.
You don't need that much money. And also, you can give people universal health care. Look at Britain, look at Canada, look at probably 100 countries around the world without doing communist totalitarianism. So this is just absolute, utter pro-Castro, pro-communist nonsense that we're hearing from Bernie. And we have unfortunately heard from a lot of the left for a long time.
Paul, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Faithandfreedom.com for more information. Dr. Paul Kanger. Thanks, Paul. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jerry.